Hello and welcome to this week's Sunday Supplement. It's your regular look back at the events of the past 7 days and you look forward to what's coming up over the next week. Team today, Assistant Editor Carl Jones is with us, Shropshire Magazine Editor Neil Thomas is here to talk about some of the work there, and James Shaw is here to talk about sport. The big event of the week has been Quantum Leap, and that's the statue, the cost of that £450,000 at Shrewsbury, a tribute to Darwin in his 200th year. I think there have been all sorts of developments. Polls online at ShropshireStar.com. Who wants to kick that one off?
Shall I kick it off then? It's one quantum leap for Shrewsbury and one giant step for a member of the public on Friday, I saw, because it's taken someone 24 hours to actually decide they're going to clamber all over this statue, haven't they? It's been under wraps for so long, hasn't it, scaffolding-wise, that the tension's almost built. It seems to have taken as long to come about as it took Darwin to write his Origin of the Species book. But £450,000 at the moment and counting, and The website has sort of divided people right down the middle, hasn't it? You know, should we stay in the dark ages and do what we've always done in Shrewsbury? Is this the right time to be throwing that sort of taxpayers' money around when people are struggling to make a living? I mean, it is my personal view, I think it's hideous. But there are a lot of people, and probably more than I expected, who've come online at ShropshireStar.com over the past week and said, look, you know, think outside the box a bit, and, you know, if you don't do anything different, you always get what you've always got.
Well, I think there was a poll that was actually 56% saying it was a good idea and 44% saying it wasn't worth the money, so there was different views.
Absolutely.
I think the interesting point is as well that if the sculpture was in somewhere like London or Glasgow or Manchester, would anybody have a discussion about it? It would be just another piece of art in a city full of art. Mm-hmm. And I suspect it's because we have comparatively few works of art, modern art, in the entire county, that when we do get a new piece, it causes this sort of debate.
You have to say, don't you, that it's a little bit unfortunate for the people behind it that they've picked the middle of the worst recession in living memory for it to happen, when people are counting pennies more than they have done for a long, long time. So.
Definitely. I think it's the location. I went down there a few days ago and people have said, you come around the road and you're on the Smithfield Road and it's a fairly confusing place at the best of times. You haven't got time to look right, and the only place you can really see it from is the Seventh Theatre. Even that's limited because there's only a few places to see it from there. So it would have been perhaps better, you know, in a different location.
I think the fact that it's hidden by willow trees is a good idea, but again, that's just a personal opinion.
But then we're all sitting here today when we're talking about it, and isn't that what they wanted people to be doing? You know, what's the point of spending this sort of money on public art that doesn't provoke a reaction?
Absolutely.
Another one to talk about, the Gem of Tanzania. Now, this, I think, was on the books of Reakin Construction for £11 million. Maybe they put too many noughts on the end. I think there was one valuation in the Financial Times this week that said it was worth near £100 pounds. Carl, I think you know.
Yeah, well, I covered a bit of this story this past week. And yes, you know, Reakin Construction obviously went under a few months ago, and there are a lot of creditors who are still waiting for their money. So they have now launched, the administrators, an auction to sell off the Gem of Tanzania, the Reakin Ruby, to try and help pay some of the bills. And there have been various estimations. As you say, in the official books of the company, they'd valued it at £11 million. I think everybody realised that was a tad optimistic. More recently, an independent jeweller had reckoned it was probably worth about £300,000. And as you say, this week, in some of the national press, they've speculated it could be a few hundred quid, you know, something that Ratner would have been proud of. So now there's a sealed bid auction going on, and the closing date for that is the back end of October, November time. And then we'll see what the highest bid is, but I'm sure that the creditors are not holding their breath and thinking that...
By the sounds of it, it's going to go for a fiver, is it? Yeah. Listen to the way it's devalued.
But isn't it true that it was sold just a few years ago for much, much less than £11 million, just for some...
Well, the audit trail for this whole thing is really muddy, and you know, our business editor Amy Bold, who's been covering this story right from the start, has got a mountain of paperwork trying to actually track the audit trail of this. And you know, we're told this week that the fraud office are sniffing around some of this as well, and the reason for that is because there are questionable claims made by unspecified people in various countries of the world, and it has apparently changed hands three or four times in the past 10 years, and that's how they came to this valuation of 11 million. But exchange rates have clearly changed a bit since then.
Now, a story on which I'm sure we can all agree is Stuart Trow, and this is one, Neil, I think you're well placed to
talk about. Yes, absolutely, yes. I mean, this is our main story in the October issue of the Shropshire magazine, and already we've had some feedback about it. Three or four people have taken the trouble to phone in and say, how moved and inspired they were by the story of Stuart, who lives at Harmer Hill, was in the services and was in fact the first soldier to be injured in Afghanistan.
Now, he, for those unfamiliar with him, he lost a leg, but he's battled back and he's climbing Kilimanjaro. And all
that's right,
like
yes.
That.
Yeah, he lost a leg. He was badly injured in Afghanistan. Lost a leg. And this month, later this month, on October the 22nd, he's looking to scale Kilimanjaro, second highest mountain in the world.
And that's a story that is the lead, I think, on the Shropshire magazine. And
that's right.
That's on sale at newsstands at the moment. You can catch up with that one there. Onto sport, I think you've been taking a look at that, James.
It's looking a lot brighter for our two football teams. Shrewsbury Town, they just keep on winning at the moment. They're up to, I think two places off the top two places in League Two, and they're going great guns. They had a bit of a wobble a few weeks ago, but it's going great for them. AFC Telford United, league-wise, it's still levelling out in the Blue Square North, but in the FA Cup, they beat Pegasus Juniors last week, 4-1. And now I think the hope is really they can use the FA Cup to really as a bit of a springboard to, you know, get their league season going again.
And of course we'll be following the progress of both teams and Titans and Market Drayton and more besides in sport each evening. Which brings us neatly to next week's stuff. Carl?
Yeah, we should reach soon. We'll be saying there are three local football teams the way Market Drayton are going at the moment, aren't we? They're really,
absolutely.
Yeah, really prying on. Coming week tomorrow, one that Andy's been done himself, we've got this fabulous follow-up to the news story we had last week of Margaret James, who, from Whitchurch, who, if ever you're looking for an inspiration, 92 years old, and the oldest person from Shropshire to get an Open University degree, that's right.
She's indeed, and interviewing her, she was among the most alert people that I've spoken to in many, many years. Phenomenal mind.
That's because you spend most of your time here talking to us.
Or in crisp shops, yes.
we've got Andy's piece there tomorrow on our page 8, so that's a great one. And talking with Church, on Tuesday, we're taking a specific look in our supplement at what's going on in North Shropshire at the moment. And one of the pieces that Tommy Hanson, our North Shropshire reporter, has done is a look at what the future holds for Whitchurch at the moment, because it's on that very edge of the Cheshire Gap, and there's the feeling that, you know, among other things, the BBC are about to relocate 1,200 or 1,300 people up to Cheshire, aren't they, next year? So property market might start to move around, and
so
there's
a
feeling that
Whitchurch
could be a town that's about to go places, you know, a little bit. Elsewhere, really good story that Ben Bentley, our feature writer, has done, looking at a place called Willowdean Farm, which we've not done a huge amount on. It's in the rural village of Chorley near Bridgnorth, and he's been finding out about why so many people from all parts of Britain and occasionally overseas are coming to this centre, which has got a grown reputation for rehabilitating drug and alcohol offenders. Shropshire people, and as I say, from far afield. Our motoring editor Sharon Walters is off next week to test drive the new Vauxhall Astra, which the company's getting very excited about, and we'll have that in our motoring supplement on Friday.
Perfect. Thank you very much indeed, team, and we'll join you for regular news bulletins each evening. We'll be back with your podcast next week. Thanks for joining us.